Welcome, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com, coming to you on the 4th of November, 2013. Here I am, as always, in the sunny climes of Western Japan, but we're joined on the line from the United States of America tonight by our good friend Michael Vale, the editor of StratRisks.com and BlacklistedNews.com, two very valuable news websites that I check on a daily basis myself for news stories coming out all the time there that are just extremely important and hard-hitting. So, Michael Vale, it's always great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, it's been a while. I stay low to the ground, but always good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's good to have you back on. And again, for people who haven't caught our previous conversations, they are there in the archives on Corbett Report. So just type in keyword Vale maybe in the search bar on CorbettReport.com. I'm sure it'll pop up so people can check that out. But today I want to talk about something a little bit different than what we've talked about in the past. I want to talk about something that I'm calling the war on journalists. And I'm not sure if there's a better way to talk about this or to frame it.
No, it definitely is a war on journalism. You know, basically to the point where journalism is almost dead and they're burying it as we speak.
Yes, unfortunately so. Well, I have a lot of data points along painting that picture that I have that I've been looking at in my own work. But I know that you obviously keep an incredibly close eye on what's pouring through the news wires. So why don't you just start by hitting up some of the points that you would paint if you're trying to show someone this picture of the war on journalism that's going on right now?
You know, first of all, we've got Feinstein and the Shield Law basically defining what exactly is a journalist. And there's varying different types of journalism, so that's very hard to do. But it's completely unnecessary because we have the First Amendment, guaranteed by default that we have the ability to speak our minds. But the problem is really, as always, they always say, we're helping you, we're helping you, we're giving you a shield. You know, journalists have always had shields, the ability to release documentation, you know, going back to Watergate, going back even further than that. And so this really is kind of, you know, kind of putting the cap on what they think is a dangerous aspect of groups like WikiLeaks and sort of alternative media like Al Jazeera, Russia Today, all these different media outlets, which, of course, sometimes do have their own nationalist slant. But they were blindsided by it, and they just can't believe that they're coming out of this information. And people have outside points of reference to which will provide more information. And so they can't handle it. Even, you know, Hillary Clinton said that we're losing the information war. And so now to attack the journalists is a right lock and step of what they really want to do.
Unfortunately so. Well, let's talk a little bit about that Shield Law for people who don't know what this is. Basically, they're trying to hardwire into law right now a law that will protect journalists, but of course it is only the journalists they want to protect, and that's basically they're trying to start to make it into an accredited profession where you have to be a card-carrying member of some accredited institution in order to be a journalist, where of course, as you point out, that's not what the First Amendment is about. Let's talk a little bit more about this law, about Senator Feinstein, and about the implications of what's going on here.
You know, it's what it is, the Senate committee approved the bill. And by definition, they're trying to say that bloggers are not journalists and that you have to get a paycheck from our established media outlets, you know, CNN, MSNBC, etc., which is already concentrated to the hands of just a few as it is. And so it really what this is just out and out censorship. You know, they're saying who can say what and when. And have you noticed that there have been a lot of journalists lately who've been joining the Obama administration and sort of switching sides, if you will? I think it's sort of beyond the pale for a administration that was supposed to be the most transparent in history.
It is. I mean, it's a remarkable, just a remarkable state of affairs. And I just have to shake my head at the people who still continue to support the Obama administration in the wake of all of these things that it's continuing to do. But let's talk about some of the other data points here, because I think this is something that goes back years. It goes forward in time to things that we can see coming along the horizon. Just some of the stories that I would point people to are things like earlier this year, we saw just before the Snowden revelations, we had the big scandal about spying on the AP, for example. The DOJ basically is peeping on reporters at the AP. We've seen even things happening across the pond in the UK, where, of course, Glenn Greenwald's partner was recently detained at Heathrow Airport on suspicion of smuggling, you know, secret documents through the airport. They've now come out and ruled and determined that he is, in fact, a terrorist for, I guess, transiting through Heathrow. So unfortunately, this is not something that's localized to America. And I think it obviously has something to do with the internet itself and the way that that's transforming our definition of journalism. But
and they can't lock it down. I mean, they've tried so hard to come out, you know, with all these different ones, CISPA, you know, all these different ones, PI, but others. And really what it comes down to is the information is power. And they were blindsided by WikiLeaks and all these different people. And even, you know, the UK, MI5, they were trying to make the Guardian, UK Guardian, delete their documents off their hard drive where they were going to take them. And so they're not ready for their established, you know, lies to come onto the media and be challenged by actual proof, actual documents. They weren't ready for this. I mean, the Clinton and Bush administrations, they had it easy because, you know, the official line was always turned out there and no one ever questioned it. But now, you know, it's a new day. I mean, we have all kind of documents leaking now. What's really bad about that is that you have outlets like The Guardian that will go and talk to the government and say, well, what are this parts of this do you want us to release and what parts you don't want to release? I understand you want to protect people's lives, but, I mean, you can get rid of people's, you know, names or whatever have you and still release the data. It's really been, when you look at the documents in total, it's been pieces of it. It hasn't even been the whole thing. And so, I mean, even that they're trying to put a stop to.
Well, this is such an important part of what's going on. I think that there is just this incredible revolution that's taking place with regards to internet journalism and alternative media. And I think they're applying every single break that they know how to apply,
absolutely,
including using these, you know, WikiLeaks and these other organizations that will go to the New York Times, that will go to the U.S. government even and ask, oh, should we release this or that document? So that's one form of break. Another form, we've seen in recent years how Google has altered their algorithm numerous times to stop alternative media outlets from showing up high on the search engine rankings and to stop from trending in the trending search words and things like this. Basically, all these different methods they're applying to try to put on those brakes. But so far, it hasn't been exceptionally effective. I think we still see the power of the alternative media exploding through the old dinosaur.
I mean, even on Facebook and Twitter now, you see that certain information is just not being seen. You know, they're being put through a filter now. I mean, I've seen it myself with certain articles that I post, and I'll go look on Facebook, which I'm not normally there at all, but I'll go look and say, well, you know, what happened? You know, where is this information? And so, you know, the internet is free flowing. They cannot shut it down. There's always a method or a way to get the information out, whether you're on Tor, whether you're on Darknet, you know, whether you're using VPNs, encryptions. The NSA is going so far to try to destroy the idea of encryption or lie to you to say it's not even possible that they have the means to break any encryption. And so now I think that some of these documents that are being leaked are really being used as a weapon to say that, oh, we're watching you in total. You know, we're seeing everything you're doing, which is a complete lie. The capability, you know, it really they can suck up everything, but the ability to look at that through special protocols and filters is really limited to a number of days and really small time. And so they do not have the capacity and the computing power to do this, but they're making it look like this. But every avenue available to them, they are trying to lock down this information, which is vital to people around the world.
That is such an important part of all of this. It's the Panopticon system that we've talked about many times, where you only need a very few jailers and you can control a great number of prisoners because they feel like they're always being watched. And I think that's an exceptionally important part of this unveiling of the total surveillance spy state. Exactly as you indicate there. And again, that shows that I think that the powers that shouldn't be are genuinely afraid of the power of average people to start spreading this information. And they're trying to get people afraid of sharing this information. And unfortunately, I've seen in my own work that it does have an effect on some people. And there are a lot of people who are afraid to speak out because they feel they're always being watched. And it brings up a number of important questions, such as, I mean, let's break this down to brass tacks. In your opinion, Michael, what is a journalist? Should there be some sort of set definition for this?
No, you must be a some sort of scholar. You must be a member of the club. You know, you must be a established fellow of some international institute to be a journalist. No, anyone can be a journalist. And even the idea of the word journalist per se is ridiculous. You know, what it is that you have the ability as an American citizen to go out and look at the information and present it to the public. It is always done. What are you going to stop, Benjamin Franklin from having a printing press? Is that how far we're going to go? I think it's absolutely ludicrous to even talk about this, to say that only journalists, you know, who are part of our established overall media is able to put out any information. They are scared to death. There's an old phrase, being forewarned is being forearmed. That means you're ready for any possible thing to happen. And if people have access to this information, I mean, Obama just can't come out, or any other, you know, puppet come out and say that, oh, well, this is how it is and this is our line, you know, like Benghazi, whatever else happens. Well, you can say, wait, here, the documents say different. These are your documents. So, I mean, obviously, they're definitely afraid. And the alternative media is having them really back on their heels. They're very concerned about them. And really, you know, the old line media, had a monopoly on your mind, a complete monopoly. There was no outside information. When Cronkite said it, that's just how it was.
Absolutely right. And we can look at how that functioned in previous generations, whether it was JFK, oh, his head could be seen to move violently forward, or the other lies that were disseminated simply because people didn't have access to this technology to spread this information. Can you imagine if JFK took place in this day and age? There'd be a million cell phone angles of that, and we'd have that entire thing posted on YouTube within minutes. I mean, can you imagine the difference that would make to that type of operation? So
look what they're doing right now. I mean, if something happens anywhere in the world, you know, there's going to be, like you said, a billion cell phones out there picturing it. There's a million CCTVs out there in the world, you know, with really open CCTVs. And so while they think that that's for us, it's also we can use as a weapon against them.
That's right. That's something I've talked about in my podcast before. It's called suvalence. The idea, rather than surveillance, which is them watching us from above, it's suvalence. All of us with our little recording devices or whatever can watch the powers that shouldn't be and record them as well. So it cuts both ways. And there are things, negative things to say about that type of system as well. But I mean, I think it is ultimately positive that at the very least we're leveling that playing field and we're turning the cameras back on them rather than having them turned on us. And again, I think this creates a different paradigm. And you make an important point earlier. You said that that perhaps the idea of a journalist, just the idea of that, defining that is ridiculous in and of itself, because everyone is a journalist when everybody has a recording device or whatever in their pocket. It really levels the playing field to the point where just making that distinction, there is journalists and non-journalists, doesn't even make sense. And if everyone's a journalist, then there's no point in having that as some sort of defined function of society. I mean, the only place where that might make sense is, you know, on a title on a business card, if that happens to be your occupation. But other than
something
that,
on your resume, possibly. I was a journalist, whatever have you. I mean, even if you're working for some small town paper, okay. Or let's say you make your publish your own paper, or you're a blogger. You know, even though I hate these labels, and that's really all they are, labels, you're putting out information. You're providing a valuable resource to the public. I mean, you know, for them, they look at you as the enemy. There's no other way around to say it. You are the enemy. You have the ability with all the tools available to you, okay? We have multiple libraries of Alexandria, like in Egypt, you know, on a thumb drive. Okay, use it, people. I mean, think about the possibilities of, you know, billions of people on the earth all honed and focused on open source information, human information, processing it, and to use it against your governments, basically to leverage them and to keep them from lying, to keep them telling the truth. I mean, you know, now you have these fake reporters showing up now, you know, asking questions. And if you ask the wrong question, or if you ask some hard-hitting question, you're no longer going to be invited to speak and, you know, to talk to Obama anymore. I mean, all of this now is being done under the most transparent government ever in history.
You're exactly right, and you bring up the idea of fake reporters, which we know that they've done in the past, and I know you have some information on that, but it raises the point of why they would go to the extreme of doing things like this unless it was something that could potentially affect their plans. And there are a lot of people out there, I get this a lot, skepticism, cynicism, oh, you know, who cares about spreading information? What difference is that going to make? But I think that the very war on journalism that's going on speaks to the fact that they are genuinely afraid of the power of people rising up in an information revolution to uncouple their minds from the system that's attempting to enslave them.
Absolutely. When you see, I mean, there's always an action and a reaction, okay? And there has been a major action by many of these different groups, even yourself, even myself, you know, millions of people out there posting just YouTube videos, just talking. Okay, here's what I saw from an article, a foreign article. Okay, I translated it. Here it is. Or, hey, a friend of mine's in the military, blah, 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 and they saw whatever have you. I mean, all of this really is an informative weapon, and it's supposed to be that way. The idea of a government is that you're supposed to keep your government accountable to the people, to you. If you're not doing that, then they're going to do whatever it is in their means to, you know, continue their power. I mean, throughout history, this has always happened.
That's an important point. I mean, of course, there is this coalescing of a lot of things right at the moment, but this war on journalism is absolutely nothing new. And we can look at the different ways that that's played out in the past. I mean, from literally journalists that have been killed for their information, from Danny Casolaro or people like that, all the way to fake reporters, to reporters being jailed, to reporters being persecuted, spied on, all of this stuff. And it raises the question then of what the average person who's listening to this conversation, who may not consider themselves to be a journalist, what part they have to play in all of this. If there is this war on journalism going on, what can we do about that?
A good point. I think for the most part, the very idea of them doing this right now, it speaks a lot to us. But what we can do, because, I'm not a complete optimist. But I will say that a lot of people, you know, may not look at information, and they may just go with the flow. They may just, you know, drink the Kool-Aid and say kumbaya, whatever have you. But when there's the kind of information that we have available to our fingertips now, it's in your face. It's almost like it's undeniable. And so we have to really just double our efforts and really expose this, expose a media shield law. We're shielding you. When has any government ever in history shielded people that put out information about them unless they're putting out information that they dictate themselves?
So very important. And again, everyone has a part to play in this, whether it's starting a blog or things, something of that sort, or whether it's just simply informing people about the information that you saw in the alt media at the water cooler conversation. It all does make a difference, and it all does in a certain sense. It makes you a reporter, a journalist, someone who is, who is coalescing and taking this information and spreading it. And I think we have to get out of the mindset that this is just something that affects a rarefied sect of society. It's
I mean, how hard is it? How hard is it for you to get a video camera for $50 and to make a video and spread that video talking about certain things? There's a wonderful quote by Jacques Ellul in the book Propaganda, which is a must read for everybody, especially under these conditions. Check this out. It says, to make the organization of propaganda possible, the media must be concentrated, the number of news agencies reduced, the press brought under single control, and radio and film monopolies established. Only through concentration in a few hands of a large number of media can one attain, quote, true orchestration, a continuity, an application of a scientific method of influencing individuals. Now, who do you have running the media now? You have groups in the military-industrial complex. You have groups like GE that have their hands into every little thing. And if the information is going to be revealed, that exposes anything they're doing or anything they're invested in, anything they're connected to, they're going to stop that, which is why you shouldn't rely on the old world media. It's completely outdated. And I think going forward in the years to come, in the decades to come, everyone will be a part of that media. Everyone will be interacted within that media. It's not hard to establish your own media outlet. Regardless of what your politics are, regardless of what your agenda is, we need all of it.
We really do. And again, for people who are incredulous about all of this, I just ask them to reflect a generation ago that even the things that you and I are doing right now would have been literally unthinkable. So can you imagine a generation from now how much further advanced all of this will be? And hopefully it will not be in a direction of fear and clampdown and draconian laws and the war on journalism continuing forever. Hopefully we can make a difference. All right, Michael, anything else, any other points that you'd like to raise for people about this topic or what the implications, ramifications, or ultimate solutions to this might be?
Well, I'll give you some examples of what they've done. Just quick bottom line. Hey, you've got fake female reporters, prepackaged news in the media, banishing journalists who've asked hard-hitting questions, arresting foreign journalists who expose U.S. war crimes, official distribution of talking points, false facts. Let's say an example like the debt limit debate. You had MSNBC and everybody else saying what Obama said, quote, pay the bills that you've already racked up. Now, why would everyone say the exact same thing that Obama said? So really, I mean, when you look at this, it's a sort of dehumanizing information, dehumanizing people and giving them labels and saying you're a journalist, you're not a journalist. Oh, you're a tier two media outlet. You're a tier three media outlet. Who put your Google information a little lower than the rest? What you should do, number one, stop relying on these massive internet groups like Google, Yahoo, and the rest. They're going to do what is in their best interest. And of course, they're going to spy on you and sell you information at the same time. You know, what you need to do is work on small groups, small internet organization, and build from there. The technology is readily available. Now you even have open mesh, you know, internet networking for even when the internet goes down. And number one, well, number two, number three, whatever, you be the media. You stand up. It doesn't matter whether it's a little bit or a lot. We all need it. I don't care if you're running on YouTube with a single tooth. Get out there and do it. The more of it, the more eyes we see, the more visibility, the more power we have.
Such important points. So I guess we could summarize the conversation by saying the war on journalism is a war on you. So what are you going to do about it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, incredibly important stuff. And again, for people who aren't keeping their eyes on StratRisks.com or BlacklistedNews.com, I would wholeheartedly urge that they do so. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those websites?
Let's see, StratRisk.com. You know, I basically try to follow all geopolitical, geoeconomic things going on around the world that are very, very important because what can happen there can happen here, anywhere else. Like the quote that Machiavelli says, he says, if you want to know what's happening, you must learn what has already happened. And sort of keeping in line with that is what we do. Blacklisted News is just a massive repository for all the news you want to see. I mean, Doug Owen goes to great lengths to put out this information and really just ram it into your heads and get it out there. It is almost overkill.
That would be a good tagline for the site. Almost overkill. All right. Excellent. Well, I'm glad to see that. Excuse me. I'm glad to see the war on journalism as I choke to death over here. I want to say that I'm glad to see the war on journalism hasn't claimed you yet, although it might claim me if I'm not able to breathe. All right, excellent.
No, we're still going to be at it regardless.
Excellent. All right, Michael Vail, always great to have you on the program. I hope we can talk to you again in the future. Thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.